Well, it's good to see y'all out and about. You know, the sun came out and the snow went away, and that was expected. And I'm sure a lot of us enjoyed it while it was here, and I'm glad that we had that opportunity. But I'm more glad that we have the opportunity to share in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And we started off with another baptism. What a wonderful way to start a service. And now we've had a time of singing and of joy, and now we're going to go into a time of remembrance and strengthening for our spirit and God's words and what He has for us. I am going to be with you this morning again. Guess where? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And we were there last week. There's so much that we can talk about through this verse and what it means to us. We're going to be there at least one more time today. I do ask that you stand with me in honor of God's word this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And Father, we thank you again for this day and for your blessings of grace and mercy. Lord, for the joys in life. Lord, even the hard times, because we know that you are with us and we can get through them. We're not alone. You're always there. And Lord, we have each other, our faith in you, which draws us and unites us. Lord, we thank you for that and for this time. And we ask for your strengthening. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our heart to receive your truth today. We ask it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And we talk about power and salvation and all kinds of ideas and theological topics that just pop up through all of that. And this morning, I want to talk to you about salvation. You know, we talked last week about the power of God and salvation, but this morning, I want to ask you, how many of you know what the word salvation means? Because there is a definition for the word salvation. Many people would say, I'm saved. And that would be true. But just a general definition for salvation, we could use this. Salvation means that we are delivered or preserved from some danger, some grave incident that might be upon us. We're just preserved. We're saved from that. But the truest sense of the biblical definition on salvation is this: a life being saved from death. So if you want to know what God is talking to us about in Scripture, when he says that the gospel of Jesus, his Son, is the power of salvation, he's talking about saving a life from death. And that is something all of us need to hear and understand, because we can be saved in so many ways. We can have salvation in so many ways just in life experience. But the truest sense that I am speaking to you about today is this. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? Have you been washed? Have you been cleansed? And are you sealed for the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit? Because if you are not saved in Jesus Christ, you don't know what salvation is. You just know what it's supposed to be. You understand what it implies. But you have not experienced the love of God if you haven't found that in Jesus. Salvation. It's the power of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. All that we study about who he is and learn what he did and what he did for us on the cross, and now that he's not dead in heaven and preparing a place for us, we understand that it is the power in Jesus that secures us for tomorrow, for the next step in our journey of life. It is the power of God unto salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how many of us in here know the power of God unto salvation? Just give me an amen if you know what it means to be saved in Jesus. Amen? Well, then why is it we sometimes lose our faith and have doubts? What is it that makes us doubt we are saved? Because I know Christians will find themselves in a moment of turmoil and strife, some kind of burden upon them, and they begin to wonder, am I saved? Listen, once you're saved in Jesus Christ, you're saved. I want you to understand that, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation, and He saves. And He doesn't change His mind about it later on. You're saved or you're not. But sometimes we as believers in Christ will begin to doubt our salvation. I want to tell you, there's three reasons I can think of why we would begin to doubt our salvation. And the first is, we really have the seeds of unbelief still in our heart. Because doubt can only sprout from unbelief. I want you to think about that. If you are walking in faith, you have no doubt that God is with you, and where you are going, God is going with you, and whatever comes, you already have victory in it. But if you have doubt, you still have unbelief. We need to get that out. Just get rid of unbelief, because it doesn't belong in our life, not when we're walking in faith. Unbelief looks like this. How many of you remember the Garden of Eden? Satan comes up to Eve and says, hey, are you not supposed to eat the fruit in the garden? And she says, oh, we can eat of the fruit. It's just that one tree we shouldn't eat. God said, if we eat of that one fruit, we will die. And Satan said, surely you're not going to die. He just doesn't want you to be like him, knowing good and evil. And you know the rest of the story, right? Oh, it looks good. I think I'll try it. Because there was doubt. They doubted the Word of God. And it sprung up into this world that we know today, filled with pain and suffering and death. How many of us know that death is real now? Because we see it every day. We've experienced it through our families. We know what death is. Adam and Eve in the garden, they never saw a sparrow fall out of a tree. They didn't bury their grandparents or their parents. They didn't bury a child. Not yet. God was trying to save them from all of that. You know, don't do that, because you'll have something in your life you're going to regret. You're going to regret. See, God puts restrictions not to keep us from growing and being better at who we are and bringing glory to Him. He puts restrictions out there to protect us. And we get doubts about it. Well, He just doesn't want me to have fun. We say that about our parents, don't we? He just don't want me to have fun. I'm going anyway. Mom, Dad, I'm going over to my friend's house. We're going to study this weekend. I'm going to be spending the night, you know, and then what happens? Who knows? You get caught, you get caught. If you don't, you try it again the next week or a month later, because you feel like you've gotten away with something. You don't get away with anything with God. You break that rule once, and guess what? You're hooked. He knows. And they knew He knew when they sinned. But doubting our salvation comes when we have seeds of unbelief that spring up into these doubts about what's going on. I'll tell you something else. Spiritual immaturity will cause us to doubt. Spiritual immaturity. Peter says, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted the Lord is gracious. And Peter is saying we need to enjoy the pure milk. We'll also see in Scripture that sometimes we've got to get off of milk and start eating the meat. We've got to become stronger. We've got to grow. We've got to understand. Spiritual immaturity only adds chains to our life. Y'all know what spiritual immaturity is. It's believing something that later you find out may not have any basis in fact or even truth. And we refuse to let go. How many of you ever heard, here's my fun one. How many of you heard you weren't supposed to wear red to church because red's the color of the devil? We got some people wearing red today. I used to tell people that here all the time. I love this because we make fun of that. We spiritual immaturity and things we've held on to. And I would mention how I heard that growing up in church. You can't wear red. And one day I came to church and I didn't notice it, but there were six or seven people in here already and they were all dressed in red. We even had a guest come in that day wearing a red dress. Didn't even know, but the rest of the crew in here, for y'all that don't know this, they had conspired to wear red. And we had a house full of red that day. Having fun and growing through spiritual immaturities. How many of you ever heard you can't work on Sunday? How about, well, if you can't help it because your boss tells you you have to work, how about this one? Can't fish on Sunday either. Well, I'm doing both of those right now, y'all. I'm working and I'm fishing. God doesn't have any problems with that. But spiritual maturity, you see, we can put chains in our life that don't belong. And those are just simple things, but sometimes we can add chains that really impact who we are and impact others when they look at who we are. When we begin to add works to our salvation, anything other than Jesus Christ. If I haven't done this, I'm not saved. Well, Scripture says all you have to do is have faith in Jesus and call upon His name and you're saved. That doesn't change. You can't add anything to the cross. You can lay your sin at the foot of the cross and Jesus will wipe it away when you're seeking forgiveness. But you can't add yourself to the cross. You can't give anything extra to what the cross means. There is nothing you can do to make your salvation more real than it already is in Jesus Christ. And there will never be anything that will suffice other than Jesus Christ. Unbelief causes us to have doubts. Spiritual immaturity can cause us to have doubts. Living in unrepentant sin can cause us to have doubts. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. Unbelief, spiritual immaturity, and sin, living in unrepentant sin. How can we have a relationship with God if we're going to live in unrepentant sin day after day after day? And we're going to call on the Lord. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves in doubt. Am I saved? You might not be. And I'll tell you this. A person who lives in unrepentant sin, they should have the turmoil of doubt in their life. Because that's how you find out if you belong to Christ or not. If you don't have any concern over unrepentant sin, you really should ask yourself, do I know God? And then the better question, does God know me? Are we having a relationship? Does He know my name? Because if he doesn't call you by name, he doesn't know you. He says, if you are afraid to confess me before men, before the world, then I will not confess you before my Father and his angels. And you look at the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and you see that Lazarus, when he died, was carried by the angels into heaven, but the rich man, when he died, he just landed in torment. And Jesus never speaks his name, and you know why? Because he didn't have life in Christ. Isn't it amazing, though, he mentions Lazarus by name and that the angels carried him to the bosom of Abraham. It's no coincidence that Jesus says, if you're afraid to profess me before men, then I won't profess you before my Father or his angels. And when you step into eternity without knowing what salvation is, you're stepping into a darkness and a torment that will not end. And so I'm fishing. I'm pleading with you. Like fishermen in a boat. Come on. I'm holding my mouth right, y'all. Come on. I'm pleading with you this morning. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, don't wait any longer. If you know Jesus and you're having moments of doubt, ask yourself what's causing that doubt in your life. Is it seeds of unbelief or spiritual immaturity? Are you living in sin that you won't repent from? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And once we are saved, we shouldn't doubt that. Because the power of God cannot be immuted by anything that we do. It can't be taken away. God gives it through grace because of our faith. And that not a gift that comes from within, but comes from God above. You find that in Scripture too, right? So that none of us can boast. It is all the work of God. So how do you hold on to the assurance of salvation in life? Well, you keep studying the Scripture because we find assurance of our salvation in Scripture. You see, the more we keep ourselves removed from God's Word, the more these other things are going to impact our life. Unbelief and immaturity and sin. But when we stay in the Scripture, we find these words in Romans chapter 5. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Peace. And when we have that peace, we don't have any doubts. I don't have to worry if I'm saved or not. I know I'm saved. I'm at peace with God, and my soul is at peace. You know why my soul is at peace? Because the presence of the Holy Spirit is keeping me at peace and answering that question. In fact, Jesus says in John chapter 5, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." If you believe that Jesus has come to save us from our sins, through your faith in him, you have passed out of death and into life. And you're not adding anything to that. You're not bringing any chains along and hooking yourself, shackling yourself to, I got to do this, I got to do that. There are so many chains that people will add to our lives spiritually that just don't belong. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Find peace with God the Father through God the Son. And rest in that peace. And walk in that peace. Because that is the power of God unto salvation. And you find it by staying close to God through His Word. That's the testimony of the Scripture. But we also have the testimony of the Holy Spirit. The testimony of the Holy Spirit. You find in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children of God, then we are heirs with God. with Jesus. So if I have the testimony of the Holy Spirit, why am I doubting my salvation? Why does that doubt ever spring up? Is it because I've sinned and I have error in my life, unrepentant? Fall on your knees and find forgiveness. Find that joy again. David said, Lord, return to me the joy of my salvation in you. And he is faithful and true to forgive us if we are faithful and true to repent, to seek forgiveness, and to seek that restoration of our fellowship with him. We must walk in fellowship. And once the fellowship is broken, then we're going to have these doubts and these uncertainties and all of the different things we face in life. Ephesians chapter 1, it says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Once we are saved and the Holy Spirit seals us for the day of salvation, you know it's always there. It's always there. We have that seal. It's on our hearts. It's on our souls. And God put it there. Who's going to take it away? No one's going to take it away. No one. And God's not going to break the seal and say, I don't want you anymore. God's never going to look at you and say, well, you were just more than I thought. I can't handle this. Goodbye. You know, it's easy for us to do that in life with friends and spouses even and family in so many different ways. But God never looks at us and says, I'm done with you. I am finished. I've had it up to my neck. I can't take any more. I am not ever going to look at you again. Don't come to me for anything. God will never do that. Never. And so let's not put God on this earth as being equals to who we are. We're the ones that are broken and needing help and fixing. God is trying to do that. And he's doing it through love. And he's telling us to stay with him in fellowship and get rid of the doubts and the immaturity. Get rid of the sin and walk in peace and joy every day. Because when we are saved, we are sealed for that. Don't let the world convince you otherwise. Don't let friends convince you otherwise. That's the greatest mistake we make in life, the same mistake Eve and Adam made, listening to someone else instead of God. Did God really say that? Does God really mean that? I mean, we've grown up a lot since then. Our culture is so mature today, you know. We've evolved, you know, like we expect God to evolve with us. Really? God doesn't evolve. God doesn't change. And rest assured, as the scripture says, God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. He's given us the greatest love that he could give. God has not asked any one of us to give more than he was willing to give for us. He's never said to me, Joel, I need you to give more for me because I just expect it than what he has already given for me. God has never asked more from me than he has given already. And he won't ask from anyone more than he is willing to give himself. And we just have to have that understanding and walk in that faith and know that God is with us and that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Because in our faith, you remember Jesus said, we have our faith and we have passed from death into life. And the seal of that life is the Holy Spirit that marks us for the day of redemption. Because if we are justified through our faith, then we are heirs because of our faith. God's not going to ever wipe that out. God's not going to take that away. I'm happy about that. I can tell you this, no one's perfect when they start walking with Christ. That's how I know He's faithful and just to forgive when someone seeks forgiveness. I'm not telling you because I know you're bad. I'm telling you because I know I've been bad. And any preacher that stands before you and says they don't have sin in their life, they're lying. They need the same salvation that you need. Jesus came for all, not just you, but for me too. And all of us, we walk in this world and we face things in this world and we make bad decisions. We do things that just ain't right. We call it a mistake, but let's call it what it really is. Rebellion. Let's call it what it really is. Sin. Because before we do it, we don't say, oh God, do you mind if I do this? Anybody in here ever stop and ask God if it's okay to sin? I don't think so. Because you know what God would say. That's why we don't ask permission, right? Better to ask forgiveness than permission. Oh gosh, have I ever heard that before? How many of you ever said that before? I'm meddling now, right? I'm only doing this because I'm with you and I know and I understand. And I'm telling you that if you have found life in Jesus Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. The same power of God that made the stars in the sky, that made this world that we live upon. And each and every one of us, by speaking the word, let there be life. This is the power of God. And it can't be rescinded by any of us. It can't be rescinded by the devil. He comes up to you and says, you remember when you did this? And how ugly you are, and how can God love you? That's exactly why God loves you. Because all of us are dirty, ugly, sinful, rotten scoundrels to the bone. And God says we need help and we need healing. And guess what? I'm giving my Son to show how much I love you. And how much I'm willing to forgive. Because you can take His life and I will still love you. You can put Him in the tomb and because I still love you, I'm going to bring Him out so that you can see I have the power over life and of death. And life again. So that when we offer this to you, you can know and walk in faith that it's real. I'm even going to give the presence of the Holy Spirit to guide you in life. So when you get ready to make that moment of rebellion against me, you can feel me calling against it. Don't do it. So that we can pause and listen to God and then renew ourselves in that hope and in that joy and keep walking away from whatever it was that tempted us. And walk away knowing that we have found victory through Christ again. God doesn't want us to doubt our salvation. He wants us to live in the joy of our salvation. And what is the joy of our salvation? First, Jesus Christ. Knowing that He loves us so much that He gave Himself on the cross. Knowing that no matter what we face in this life, that God is with us and we can get through it. Whatever the trial might be, He will strengthen us to get us through it. And knowing that even if we should fail, He is still there to pick us up and dust us off. And that's the greatest part of walking with Christ, is knowing that sometimes you're going to fall, but He's going to help you up. He's going to brush you off. He's going to say to you, did you learn something from this? Are you ready to move forward now? Because we have things to do. And He will walk with you. And He will never leave you, nor forsake you, nor abandon you. This is the power of salvation in Christ. knowing that it's not just in a moment and I got to be perfect the rest of my life, but knowing that I am justified in a moment and that in this process of sanctification, we find some dirty spots we got to clean up. But glorification is coming. It's already done. I am justified, I'm sanctified, and I'm glorified in Christ Jesus. We will get there. Don't doubt it. Don't let the world cause you to doubt it. And don't give Satan anything to use against you, because he is a formidable enemy. Anybody doubt that? Satan is a formidable enemy. I don't ever want to stand before Satan and try to fight him on my own. I'll let Christ fight that battle for me. That's what we have to do. Turn to Christ. Well, I know what causes me to have doubts, right? Unbelief, spiritual immaturity, living in unrepentant sin. Well, how do I keep my assurance that I am saved once I'm saved? Well, I stay in God's Word and I remind myself constantly by His words in so many areas, in so many ways. He tells us that He loves us and He's never going to abandon us. He's with us always. And I also rely on the assurance of the Holy Spirit, who is with me every step I take, to remind me that I belong to God. That's how we don't fall to this doubt and unbelief and wondering if I'm saved. Don't doubt your salvation. If you're saved and you know the joy of it, you're saved. But get yourself out of the rut. Come back up on the high road. Walk with Christ in forgiveness and in joy. And remember this. Once you're back up on the road, you want to keep that hope, right? John chapter 8, Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Make you free from chains, from immaturity, from doubt, from unbelief. It'll make you free so that you can walk in the peace and the power it comes with knowing you're saved in Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? I invite you to know Him. I invite you to come today and to find that peace and that hope and that joy in knowing Jesus, being saved from death and brought into life through Christ. That's what salvation is. Being brought from death into life. Will you come while the altar is open? Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you again for the joy that we have in you, for the hope and the assurance that we are yours, and Lord, too, for showing us in your words how we can hold on to our hope and our joy and be assured every day that we're walking with you. Lord, protect us from our enemy. Keep us safe. Steer us around the traps that are set before us. And help us and strengthen us. And Lord, I pray if there is one who does not know you today, Lord, that you would touch their heart to call upon you and to find the hope and the forgiveness that comes through your Son, Jesus. And I ask it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come while there's time?